CJAD time is 6:42, and Beryl Wiseman, president of the Institute of Public Affairs, is one of those named in the Gomery report, and he's not very happy about it at all. Beryl Wiseman joins me right now. Good morning, Beryl. Welcome to CJAD.
Andrew, good morning.
Can I
just make a correction?
Yes, please do.
I wasn't named in the report
for
blame at all. I was simply mentioned in two places. There was no Section 13 letter. There was no name for blame, whatever.
Okay, so how do you think you ended up on this liberal blacklist?
Oh, very simple, because I've opposed the Gomery Commission since November 2004. I've written about it in my column in the Suburban and the Ottawa Citizen. I wrote about it in February 2005. This commission was a one-man show hired by one prime minister with one judge to do one thing, deflect from his own problems. That's what I've written, that's what I believe, and that's what the report showed. So I'm not paying any obsequious obedience to this government. There's about as much liberal in this liberal government as there was revolutionary in the Institutional Revolutionary Party of Mexico.
Beryl, Paul Martin's done a very good job so far of making the Paul Martin liberals look a lot different from the Jean Chrétien liberals. Are they the same people?
He hasn't done a good job at all. That's the unfortunate thing in this country, Andrew. We are good and generous people, but we've lost our moral courage and we've lost our ability to reason. We run between the raindrops. We're a society that dares not care, governed by people who don't know right from wrong. Look, go back to the beginning. Martin, in his first statement when he called Gomery, didn't say, if I'm shown to have done wrongdoing, I'll resign. He said, if I have any knowledge of sponsorship, if I have any knowledge of this program, I'll resign. Now, Mr. Gomery was very selective. He liked Gite's testimony, he liked Bro's testimony, but he was very selective. He chose to ignore the fact that Gite, in the hearings in Ottawa, said that the only minister to intervene in the sponsorship program was Paul Martin. In the Montreal hearings, he added Jean Chrétien. Mr. Gomery chose to ignore the fact that Alan Cutler, the bureaucrat who first blew the whistle, presented two letters from a senior assistant to Martin in 94 and 96 demanding sponsorship money. Uncontested testimony in the Montreal hearings that another senior assistant in the year 2000 wanted $1 million for the man who ran the $1,000 a ticket cocktails with Paul Martin. And Paul Martin himself admitted that he signed off on all Canadian Unity funds. So he knew about the sponsorship program, not only knew about it, but his staff asked money from it. Doesn't that require him to resign?
Speaking with Beryl Wiseman, now, so in the end, though, so the front page of every newspaper this morning, and indeed Gomery's take on it, is that Martin's exonerated and Chrétien is taking some of the blame. Does that sound totally unfair to you?
It's totally unfair. I'm sure there's plenty of blame to go around. But to totally exonerate the man who was the political minister for Quebec, the second most powerful man in the government, the man who's admitted that he knew about the funds, if Canadians cannot draw their own conclusions from what this is. We were given a gift in this country in 1984, Andrew. You may not have liked Trudeau's policies, you may not have liked everything about him, but when he put in the Charter of Rights and Freedoms, that was a check to the Canadian people. And that check said that the individual supremacy of each of us reigns supreme over the government, which means that all actions of government and law and courts must adhere to what's called in Section 7 of the Charter fundamental justice, defined in a variety of decisions from Smith come on down as being fidelity to due process of law, protection of reputations, the appropriate collection of evidence, not this kind of McCarthyite witch hunt.
So you're out of the Liberal Party now.
I haven't been in the Liberal Party.
You can't be. You're not allowed to be a member. Does that upset you?
Oh, yes. I'm terribly, terribly upset with this bunch of good characters. It's a compliment.
Mr. Wiseman, nice speaking.
Beryl,
good to speak with you.
And
there was never any member. There was never any envelope stuff with cash.
There was never any envelope stuff with cash. And, you know, the funny thing was, if I have another 15 seconds.
Yep.
When I took on the project for 6 months, a lot of people questioned, you know, they said, you do all this progressive politics, how can you take a mandate from a guy like Galliano? I said, look, I don't know Galliano, and when you're trying to give a voice to the disempowered and disenfranchised, you don't look for purity and you don't look for virginity. The condition was I had a mandate from the political minister of Quebec that even Desan said was the boss, and he said to me, you expand our base, the social action groups and the cultural communities will get a voice in the finance and political commissions. That was the deal. That was the only deal. That was not a question of money. It was a question of empowerment.
Beryl Wiseman, president of the Institute of Public Affairs. CJ, anytime is at 6:46. And this is Catherine Wood. CJ.